Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Oh, wonderful day to you. Hey, how are you doing? This is Brad. I'm here in the Barn Studio. And it's podcast time this morning. It's a bit cold outside here. Just a bit nippy, but we're looking at 70-degree weather throughout the week here in South Carolina. And I'm looking around at the region and the nearby states, and looks like the weather's going to be good. It's a wonderful morning here, nice and quiet early in the morning as I'm recording this. And I thank you so much for joining me. We're going to go to some of the questions that have been asked me as I have been traveling here. And I really thank you for your prayers and your support as I travel. I just came back from Pennsylvania, as you might know. I've shared this early in some podcasts and also in some posts. I'm heading out this coming month to Mississippi, Alabama. Let's see, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but if I can remember, then it will be North Carolina, moving on into Colorado by the end of the month. Let me check the calendar here, see what's going on. I have committed to run four circuits, like the old circuit riding preachers of yesteryear, and this is the second circuit, which we're starting in a couple of weeks. I just finished up the last one, in which I was able to go to Louisiana, Delaware, Maryland, Texas, Georgia, and across South Carolina. What a great time, being able to see you, being able to share with you, and different venues. I mean, we were actually around a kitchen table at one particular study and church services. I have met in many different venues, and I really, really enjoy it, and I look forward to seeing you. Here's what I have here. I do have the calendar out here. On April 7th, this is going to be on a Sunday, I am going to be, first of all, in Tremont, Mississippi, at Mountain Methodist Church in Tremont, then going across the state line, because the Tremont's very near the state line. I'm going to go over to Hamilton, Alabama, and I'm going to be meeting at a restaurant like we did the last time. Believers from around the area run at the back of a restaurant, and I will be there speaking. And I believe there's one other location, but it's not been disclosed just yet. I have an idea where it is. I was there last time, and it was a wonderful gathering. We actually met on a Saturday, so I'll let you know about that. The following week, I believe that there are two to three venues set up in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Pastor Doug, our brother Doug, is setting that up, Mount Airy, North Carolina, on Sunday the 14th. Then the next week, I will be in Pooler, Georgia, at Savannah Quarters. It's a general meeting area, Savannah Quarters in Pooler, Georgia. This is Miss Cammie and Mr. Jay are arranging this. Some wonderful, wonderful people. The next week, Miss Amy has arranged for me to speak, and the last time that I had heard, it will be with a youth group as well as adult groups in Grand Junction, Colorado. I'll be flying there. That is that takes us up to April and continually moving through. And as you may have known, the board, the ministry board, said, listen, we've got to really think about a new vehicle for you. As I pulled into the driveway here, I have told you that the odometer just clicked over to 241,000 miles on the old Honda CR-V, and we're to take a look now at getting a lower mileage vehicle, not a new one, but a lower mileage vehicle, and would really like to aim to get another Honda because it's been so reliable for me. The car I have is running steady right now, but I do go into some very vast remote areas or go through some very, very, areas that do not have a quick help in case I was to break down. I was in two separate, very, very thick fog banks on the way to Pennsylvania, and there has been more than once I've been on stretch of highways in which there is nothing for miles, and a breakdown would be a real challenge. And so the board is suggesting that I start looking for a new vehicle, as I said, a used vehicle that would have lower mileage, and just be ready to go. Our mechanics are absolutely fantastic, and they have told me as long as we take care of this one, we're going to be good to 250,000 miles, but we really, really need to be looking at another vehicle, and we're going to do so. So in doing that, I have asked wonderful people at Acorn Global, at Advance, Global Advance, They are a wonderful ministry. The CEO is Dr. Rick Cross. He is fantastic. If you go to the site, the Global Acorn Global Advance site, let me see if I can read that to you here and tell you, it is going to be acornglobal.org, acornglobal.org. I'm looking at our site right now under Acorn Global Advance, and we have raised 18% of our goal. We do have matching funds that are available. For each dollar you give, another dollar is going to be there. So this would be more than 18%. And this is just in the first 48 hours we've been able to raise 18% toward the new vehicle. So thank you so much. If you'd like to give, please give through them. They are also a 501c3, so you do receive the tax-deductible gift recognition on that. And so thank you very, very much for that. If you're not able to give, God bless you, just pray. Just pray that this would be possible, because I have three more circuits to travel the United States, three more circle routes going through the area and then setting them up. And those better than 95% will be by car. I do have two plane trips that are planned, but most of my travel is by car. And thank you so much. And don't forget, in the morning time on YouTube, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I have a live class Monday through Friday. Look forward to being with you on that. Now, when I travel, I have received a number of questions. I'm actually holding up, and I have them here. You might be able to hear. Just I keep a whole list of these questions here as they come in, and I'll put them to the side and look over them whenever I finish with the Q&A time. Then I'll take these back and go look at them and maybe add to the answers that are needed from the Scriptures. And I'm going to share one today on this, because this is something that I think should be in the hearts and minds of everybody. Whenever I have a detractor or a skeptic or just somebody that wants to attack the ministry, outright attack the ministry, what they usually will do is it will be very, very emotional, and it will be a broad-minded statement which shows very little detail, very little insight, very little study on our faith. But I want to be fair. I will find many Christians that when we talk about heaven, the God of heaven, King Jesus, salvation, end times, the book of Revelation, things, there's very little that's known. Now, in knowing that, that's the reason for our ministry here, the Heaven Channel, to talk about this specific area of study. Now, in that, during the time that I speak at different places, then I will have a Q&A at the very end. And people will either write down questions or raise their hand in the congregation or the assembly or the audience or the coffee house, wherever we're meeting, and they will ask some questions. It's a good time together. One of the questions that came up is really based on what I've just told you, and to continue on in the studies of heaven. And they said this: didn't God know we could never understand what heaven is? And I looked at that, and I could see how people are kind of, well, they're puzzled and maybe even frustrated sometimes. I wish I knew more about heaven, or, you know, why we even have this Heaven Channel, or you have to have a regular podcast, questions about heaven. Shouldn't God owe us more of an explanation? All right, well, it's a good question. What's the Bible say about this? Well, there's a lot that the Bible says about this. When we go into, we'll give you an idea. In the King James Version alone, the word mystery comes up 22 times. The word secret, 68 times. There are a lot of things that are hidden from us right now, and acknowledged, the acknowledgement in the Scriptures is that is going to be the way things are. God does tell us that His ways are much higher than our ways. We cannot even equate ourselves to His thinking and all. But when I go to the response of Jesus in John chapter 16, He says this, start in verse 12, and right before everything is going to come down to the cataclysmic event of the crucifixion and then the resurrection, the wonderful, wonderful realization that this is what Jesus was talking about, this is where we're going, but everything can't be said right away. Here's what it says in John 16. Jesus says to the disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, remember this. What does it say here? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There are such heavy things. I mean, remember what Peter even said when Jesus was talking about his sacrifice. Peter went ballistic. This can't be so. I don't want to hear about this. And Jesus has to correct him on this. Even these simple pillars of what is necessary for our salvation were still understood. Mark, the book of Mark, you see, as the different miracles become more and more powerful, you'll see the disciples become more and more perplexed. But is this the way it should be? Well, yes. The Lord opens up doors through the eternity. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. He will continually be opening up new avenues of kindness according to his riches in the ages to come. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. He will bestow upon us kindnesses through Jesus Christ. And that plurality intimates that we're going to receive more and more new discoveries, even in heaven. We'll be on a learning curve. Remember, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the first thing that the newly redeemed in heaven do is they start asking God the Father questions. They want to learn. We will always be on this learning curve, learning and growing more and more and more. But right now, this is a lot for us to handle, even some of the simple things. Nicodemus, a well-learned man in John chapter 3, can't really handle things. And Jesus says, you're supposed to be a teacher, a leader, this genius. And I'm telling you simple things here. And so Jesus walks him through, as we used to say, talk to me like I'm a fifth grader. He walks him through salvation, in which we all can see the simplicity of the gospel in that way. And then things will be added, okay? Just like it says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In Daniel chapter 12, with all of these prophecies that are just cascading down, not only to Daniel, but to all the readers and listeners, then the angel says, Daniel, it's time to seal this. Shut this up. It's not time. Revelation chapter 1, okay, now open it, John. This is the time. So there are various things through history we see, especially in the eternal, that they are given out in increments of understanding, a bit here and a bit there. We keep seeing this, you know, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Do you remember this? If you remember when we were looking at it in 1 John, we've talked about this passage so many times because it really tells us in our studies, this is the condition of the believer in heaven. Remember when we looked at this? Oh, it was just absolutely wonderful. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. And so we are. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it didn't know him. But now listen to this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Did you see that? It doesn't appear yet what we shall be. But we do know this. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. So it's saying right then, John, the one so close to Jesus, says, no, it hasn't appeared what we will be. There is still going to be a mystery. Indeed, this is what Paul says when Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. Well, what does he say? Well, right now, as we are studying, learning, growing, seeking, praying to the Lord, it's as if we're looking through a glass darkly. We're looking through a hazy reflection. It's very, very hard. Oh, but then it'll be face to face. So right now, this is not going to be something that's going to be so easy for us. These mysteries, you remember this too. When we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's a good principle here that we've talked about so many times when it comes to understanding or the rewards that are being given by the Lord. And Paul is talking in reference to giving at the church, but the principle stands in so many other things. As we know, there are many multi-layered teachings within the Scriptures without distorting the doctrine. And what does it say here? That is, there was a readiness to desire, so also there will be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what you have, not according to what you do not have. It's telling us here, what you have on your plate, take care of that. Don't worry about the other portions. Don't worry about the other servings. Just take what you have right there. And there will be many a time that people will ask me a question as I travel or over on emails or different communications with me. Ask me a question and I'll tell them the famous three words, I don't know. The Bible is silent on that. And I'm not going to speculate. I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I don't have the right to start giving opinions on something so powerful. This is telling us here that we have enough on our plate. It is according, accepted according to what we have. So as I know, I can serve. And that is so powerful here. Well, I hope that this would help you a little bit. And as people would say, well, you don't know all about the faith, we say, surely we don't. See, I want to put it this way. There are people that have worked for decades at Microsoft who couldn't even tell you half of what the company does. There are mysteries, and they might be learning up to the day of their retirement. Tesla, there are people that have been there for an untold amount of time who barely know anything going on outside of their division. Does that mean that they're a poor employee? They could be stellar, but they don't know all the intricate details of that. When I lived in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, just down the road was the Oak Ridge National Lab. I can tell you by the knowledge of the employees who are my dear friends, they might have no idea what a whole other section of the complex is doing, and they're not even allowed to in some cases. Does that make them a poor employee? No. Some of them are award-winning employees on there. You know, I even think about this. When speaking of Oak Ridge, we would go over to the World War II Museum over there, and Oak Ridge's different contributions to the war effort. And there was actually a tour guide there who was a former employee during World War II, a dear old lady, and she went over to the display and told us they were hired during the course of that time in Oak Ridge's infancy. They were to monitor. They were to sit on a stool so they wouldn't get tired and fall asleep. They had to stay. So they were sitting on a stool, and they were all ladies, and they were monitoring different measurements, keeping them between certain levels. And somebody said, well, what was that for? And she says, we don't know. We were never told. I spent those years just making sure that these calibrations were correct. I have no idea where they came from or where they went. Now, would you consider her to be a poor employee? Not at all. Not at all. And so here, it's the same thing here. We find some wonderful truths here, and what we see, we grasp. This is so important for us to be able to understand and be able to rejoice in. We do know in all of these things, when we talk about this, the scripture tells us, Psalm 16:11, that we are going to be filled with joy, overflowing with joy, just being in his presence. But I'll remind you what it tells you in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And I rest on this. God the Father, the supreme, all-knowing one, says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares Jehovah. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. And I rest in that, because it's just as a child, I understood my parents were leading me in certain places and driving our family to certain destinations, and I had no idea what they were, but we were very, very content and happy when we arrived at that church or that amusement park or that library or that different location or family gathering. Sometimes they were surprises for our enjoyment. I can remember those very well, too. And in the same thing, we can rejoice here. There's more I could say, but I've got to get going and get ready to teach a class here. Thank you so much, my friends, for our time to be able to spend together on this. And then look over these scriptures and share them with others, too. This is Brad with the Heaven Tour. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.